2020 Special Committee of the Whole meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, it's 7:04. Member Warren?
Yes.
Member Kobe?
Here.
Member Lutton?
Yes.
Member Underdog?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Here. Okay, and I don't know what is happening here, but it's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Per our posted policy during the coronavirus crisis, all comments should have been submitted via email to Lisa Shepherd, Executive Director, prior to the meeting. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comment received via email.
There was no comments received via email.
Okay. So, we welcome public comments. If our guests have more to say during the meeting, please utilize Zoom's chat feature as was happening in our last meeting. All guests will be muted to allow for better audio quality for all attendees. Now we will move to discussion of potential summer camp operations. Lisa Shepherd and Bobby Collins will lead the discussion along with our camp supervisory team, including Amanda Giacomino, Stephanie Prisman, and Shannon Stevens. Take it away.
Yeah, so we also have Adam's on this call, Matt's on this call, Jenny's on it, so we have a lot of our brain power in this room. So first I wanted just to say thank you to the rec team, not only have they been outstanding developing virtual programs and really we are the leaders in the state as far as that goes, they also have been doing a lot of research on what day camp will look this summer, really spent a lot of time with the COVID-19 and all the different things that are in place as a result of that to come up with a plan for summer. And you notice I didn't say summer camp. I don't think summer camp is going to look the same this year as it has in the past, unfortunately. But we're going to be able to buy different programs at different phases as we go along, especially for those parents that have to get back to work and use child care and all this stuff. So I'm actually going to throw it over to Bobby. So we did a survey to any parents that were registered for the program. It was very interesting. We put a lot of those details in the packet. We're not going to go into a lot of details, just do a cursory overview if you can ask any questions. So Bobby, I'm going to throw it to you.
Absolutely. So you have seen in the survey results, 145 people completed the survey. We had a high response rate from grade 1 through 3, which is our Sun Fun MH ag group. You'll see from the survey there was a wide variety of opinions on summer camp, and there was a large group with no real strong opinions and really just waiting to see how things evolve. So in our camps in general, we had last year 507 non-specialty camp enrollments. So we had 91 in our Barrett camp, 57 in Cooper Corner, 164 in Sun Fun, which is our first through third. Our fourth and fifth camp adventure, we had 87, Action Quest 59, and then we had 49 CIT. We had 152 individual specialty enrollments, so sailing aquatics, some of our team camps, some of those one-week options. We looked at some of the safety questions and some of the popular themes that people were in support of were temperature checks, reducing down to smaller groups, eliminating overnighters, avoiding bus field trips, doing more walking trips within Glencoe, increasing the amount of regular hand washing, and then increasing health communication with parents of any sicknesses or health-related issues. We also saw that there was unpopular feelings towards kids wearing face masks, bringing in outside entertainers, using specialty instructors, and believe it or not, swimming at the Glencoe Beach. We asked people how they felt about being comfortable sending their kids to camp. There was a wide spectrum again. 35% said extremely or very comfortable, which is which is interesting. We had 39% somewhat, and then we had 26% say not comfortable at all. So very wide range of levels there. We also asked if people thought that the Park District should run camp this summer, and 58% said yes, 15% said no, and 26% said other, which effectively was, we have no clue, need more details, unsure, really, really waiting for more information. That sums up, there was a lot of comments. If anybody read through them, was a significant amount of comments with various different opinions, so it was really hard to get consensus out of the whole community, which we knew. But we got some really good insight, and we were able to then filter by age group to see what they said they were in bear camp, what some of their opinions were. So staff was looking at that and be able to get a better indication of what priorities are for which group, our age group. So next I'm just going to go to page 59 in the packet, which is our summer camp plan, but I'm referring to it more as a framework. As you know, things are continually evolving. We're putting this framework in place with the information we have now, and we are going to have to adapt as more information and dates come out. Staff did a really good job of lining up with the governor's Restore Illinois plan. All of the phases would be 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., which is in line with our current extended day camp that we would offer in a regular, normal year. Staffing in this plan or framework would be divided into two shifts, a morning shift and an afternoon shift. So currently, you may know that we're in phase two of the governor's Restore Illinois plan. We currently have an emergency daycare license. We would look to build on that progress that we made with our soft opening and propose a start date of June 1 for a phase two camp or summer care option, which would follow very closely what we're doing right now with our early childhood program. Tuition would be billed on a monthly basis, similar to what it is right now. We could look to license 3 to 4 different wings or buildings in the Park District inventory. So currently the early childhood, the EC wing is licensed with that emergency DCFS license. We would look to do the same with our enrichment wing, where our ELT programs are mostly held out of. And we would also look to license the community wing, which is community room 1 through 4, which is right opposite the community hall. If we had demand, we would look to possibly license squats. That would have a possibility of licensing up to 10 for 10 participants. Some of the challenges with the phase two is with pick up and drop off. We're currently doing that for our emergency daycare. Staff members who aren't working with the children do all of the pickup and drop-off, so they don't intermix with all the different groups. Those staff members are required to wear PPE, including gloves, scrubs, masks that are disposable that have to be changed after every interaction for our license with the attendees. That staff member takes the temperature of each child as they get out of the car. If the temperature is okay, then that child is brought to their cohort or their group, which they have to stay with and can't be assigned to any other group. Staff members would also be assigned to their classroom or their cohort and would not be able to change between classes. Once those kids are dropped off, the staff member who did the pickup and drop off would then change all of their PPE. Currently, the process takes about 10 minutes. So you can imagine if we had 160, which is our max capacity with this license, these 4 licenses, that takes a significant amount of time. So staff is going to have to work, figure out, make alternative ways of speeding that up. The good news is we have multiple entrances. We have staff that will be able to speed that up, but we will have to look at that. The camp offerings, or the care offerings, we would recommend that we do for children 12 and younger. We don't believe this is going to be a viable option for older kids than 12. We would place 10 kids in each camp group or less. And then, because it is a licensed program, all of those staff members would have to be required to be DCFS assistant teacher qualified. That is, they have to have a high school diploma. They have to fill out all the training requirements, packet requirements. They have to do a medical background exam. They have to do a background check. So what that does is it eliminates a lot of our high school season we are not sure we have staff for this max capacity. We don't know what our staff levels are going to look like. We don't know who's going to be willing to come back or who's going to be able to come back. So we know that, but we are showing you what the framework could look like in a perfect scenario for this. There are some risks associated with doing this too, financially and obviously with the issues with the virus. We would also have to set up all of the community rooms as classrooms, and they would have to stay that way during the whole duration of the license. Staff would be required to wear face masks while working with kids. And per CDC recommendations, we would have to supply staff with scrubs, and they would have to put out fresh scrubs every day, and the park district would take care of cleaning all those daily visits. We would also look to determine who is eligible for those camps. We would set those qualifications for this phase two approach, and we would give priority to essential workers and then people who are currently signed up on a priority basis of who signed up first for our camps. They would get higher priority. We would look to cancel during a phase two all our specialty camps, so that would be sailing and aquatics in the month of June. The camps at Taygit would not be able to leave for any reason. The groups would have 10 children and 2 staff members. They wouldn't be able to share equipment. If a staff member was to get sick, we would have to use our full-time directors to step into those classrooms and cover that. There will be no in-house entertainers. We'll be able to come to the camps. We would have one maintenance worker for each area. So the EC wing would have its own, enrichment wing would have its own, and the community wing would have its own. Jessica, Amanda, and Stephanie are currently director qualified, so they will be assigned to each of those licensed areas, and they will be running those specific programs. It is worth noting that nobody from outside of the public will be allowed inside the building during a phase two license program. With DCFS, as you know, we have to provide all of the meals. That would be 2 snacks, a hot meal, and they would get the offer of breakfast if they need it. So we would need to continue to use our in-house chef, Chef Ellie, and we would also need to give her some assistance with this program to make sure we can safely provide food to all those groups. You can see that this is very similar to what we talked about with our emergency daycare license. It's just continuing to build on that. It's a pretty stringent and dedicated program for a phase two. A phase three is also the option, obviously, when the governor moves us into the next phase. We would look to follow when they move. We're looking at a potential July 1st through 6th start date for that, but again, that can change. We're not in control of that, but our indications right now is that is a higher probability of being a time to successfully transition to a phase three. The phase three is going to look similar to phase two. We would look to build tuition on a monthly basis and to do enrollment on a monthly basis. We would not relicense the enrichment wing or the community wing, but we would maintain our early childhood license. We would then be able to start utilizing non-DCFS licensed staff, so that might be high schoolers, staff that wouldn't qualify necessarily under DCFS, which would give us more staffing power. We would start looking to use outside space more. We would look to set up tents out for outdoor space and for housing kids in bad weather. We'd possibly be able to start sharing equipment and gym space and other parts of the building. We would not provide food to campers. They would have to bring their own food under phase three. We would look to convert the fitness studios into camp space. We would still follow CDC recommendations, have staff wear scrubs and masks. We would start to see more of a crossover with groups being able to interact with each other in a safe manner. We could also look to use spaces at Watts, the rec room, the lobby, the kids' club room. We would do probably a very similar drop-off to what we would do in a phase two. The phase four, we don't know when that's going to happen. It may not be this summer, but this is definitely in our wheelhouse to come up with closer to the time. We would potentially start to bring in-house entertainers, use contractors, use other staff, specialty staff, We could create more specialty programs. We could create programs in parks. We could do shorter programs. We have the talent in house to be able to roll those out pretty quickly and market them very quickly. We would most likely just be communicating the phase two and phase three approaches to the community right now, as we really don't know much more than those. Like I said, there is risks to all of this. This is not going to be a profit center for sure. Our break even is 7 kids per room. We, based on the survey we've done to preschool families, we do not foresee a huge demand starting in June immediately, but we just don't know. Our staffing plan is going to depend on what we hear from the community, if they like this plan, if they're comfortable sending their kids to the program in this framework. So our next goal is to, if this is a framework the board feels is appropriate, find out what the demand and the likelihood of the community using this service is. Open up to any questions anybody might have. I know this was a lot of information.
I just have two clarifying points, and I want to acknowledge that Bobby and Lisa have already answered most of my questions. So the two clarifying points are, phase three, no specialty camps, correct?
I think that is something we're going to have to push back that decision on. Some specialty camps may fall under the 10 or less group. We think that sailing aquatics may be possible to do with the beach having limited capacity, having the boathouse with nobody in it. We don't think we need to make that call just yet for some of the specialty camps.
From the state on day camps, so some of that, those questions will be answered later.
We would let people know on those camps that, you know, we're not sure they're going to run, but we will reevaluate, and if they feel like they need a refund because they have to find alternative options.
The other question was, just to clarify, the GCFS license is a month at a time, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Those would just be June, and then you can
relight. We may find that we stay in phase too long, or we just don't know. So we would likely extend the phase two care option, or do some hybrid care option of a phase two.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah.
I, for one, could use a little clarification on the difference between these programs that you've described, Bobby, and the current essential worker or emergency worker daycare. I think Lisa was right. Calling these camps is probably a misnomer. I certainly associate that with running around in the park or going to the beach, not being in take-up center. So how do you see the actual content of the day being different than daycare, and feel free to elaborate for different ages.
Sure. So, so we would see a phase two really is essential daycare. So, in our current programs, our staff does a phenomenal job of keeping all of the kids engaged. Some of the more camp related, going on field trips, you know, going out to the playground, interacting with big groups, and you know, having, you know, kickball games, those types of things are not going to happen. We're going to have to get very creative, and our staff already does a phenomenal job. You know, Jeff's whole team has lesson plans that keep the kids very engaged. I think the challenge won't be the kids. I think the expectations of parents will be a challenge here because of what they've experienced in the past. It being hot outside and the kids being inside a lot is going to be a major challenge and a major adjustment for people. So we're going to have to develop curriculum, and we're going to have to communicate what that curriculum is. Does that answer your question, Josh?
But next curriculum is more
right.
Play, more small group games,
yeah.
Or each room will have to have their own set of equipment, things like that, and they'll also do in phase two more of those games inside their room this size. So arts and crafts, small group games, sport games, small group games, whereas opposed to running around outside in a park will not be allowed, unfortunately.
Right.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, Bobby.
With the phase two, with the school age kids too, per the DCFS license, we're required to work with them on their schoolwork. So if a school age child were to come in a phase two, we would also allow time to do all of those fun things, but we would also allow time for them to do their e-learning. So they would be required to bring their laptops or their iPads to get that work done as well.
For the remainder of the school year, I know that I don't know what the school has said that they're finishing up with e-learning, but before you first.
So am I?
Completed June 5th this week.
So would it be fair to say this is more like, in terms of the content, this sounds more like a continuation of the daycare than summer camp? And
that's fair in a phase two for sure.
Yeah, I would say it's more like kids club a care program. Daycare kind of has a connotation that for only for young kids. So the youth program would look a little bit different than the as far as the activities they're doing than the younger ones. But yeah, I would say it's more of a care program so that kids are safe, but parents go to work.
Okay.
Any supervisors have anything else to add to that one?
Sorry, I have two more questions. Bobby, question 10 of the survey was, or anyone, but Bobby, since you talked through it, that was interesting to me because it looked like nearly 60% of people said, yes, you should hold camp. But then if I look through the comments, I didn't count them, but it looks like the vast majority of the comments say, I don't know. Now, you had fewer comments than you had answers, but I'm wondering, my guess would be that the answers yes here were more aspirational than commitments to send their children.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. You know, the other was the 37, that was the 37 comments. I think that sums up the mood in a lot of households in the community. They just don't know.
Okay.
Last summer to be like it always has been, and so I think that was the kind of a sentiment that we have. We also noticed that with Children's Circle, when we put it out there, okay, we have this program, and what was it, about 28?
Yeah, we had been, yes? 20 plus families that were very interested, but when time comes to actually sign up and the reality hits, you're going to drop your child off, you talk to other family members, you kind of second guess yourself. And I think people might start to do that. Not that there's anything wrong with what we're offering, it's just it's hard. One parent might disagree, and a grandparent says, you know what, leave the kids with me. I think people we did this survey a week ago, 10 days ago, for some people, and even in those 10 days, people's opinions have changed and moods have changed. Reality is sinking in a little bit more.
Yeah, I think, I was going to ask questions about Q10 because that's by far the most telling out there. But even if you cut that rate by 50%, you still have a third of the people that you surveyed here, which is 50 people, you had 150 people, 60% said yes, so 60% of 150 is what, about
180 people?
So you even cut that in half, and you're talking there's 40 people that are somewhat interested, including this guy who's about to interrupt. Go away. Sorry, hold on a second. To me, I think there is Stephanie knows that voice. To me, I think there is is there any creative way to test the appetite, or is it just sort of a wait and see? Because I would, for one, I feel like I feel a little differently than most people do, but I am happy to send a little one to camp. And I think by the time the summer comes, you know, Illinois is kind of, our curve is bending a little bit. People may change the other way too. So I would think it would be interesting to see if we can get some sort of a commitment. And I don't really know how to do that, whether we say, hey, look, if you really want to send your kid to camp, you know, here's $200. It's refundable if and only if we don't have camp, but if we do have camp, it's not refundable. I think it's kind of harsh to do that, but that's really the only way you're going to get an accurate number. But it sounds like you guys have plans for up to 150. Do you think about soft launching this with 50 kids, or up to 50 kids?
Yeah, we've talked about that at length. We think that's what a phase two will most likely be, a soft launch, kind of expanding on what we've just done with the emergency license with early childhood. So we could mix and match. We could use the license. So if we license the four rooms up here for, say, youth age, the 6 through 12-year-olds, and we only have to do all four rooms, we could also do something similar with the early childhood. So we're not stuck. We are planning on coming up with engagement and a communication plan and surveys. We've already surveyed preschool families to see their interest. And really, to be brutally honest, they're not as much interested in June for preschool as we thought there might be.
Yeah.
So we're second guessing ourselves a little bit in terms of we hear there's a lot of demand. People that are not sure they're going to necessarily do it unless they really have to.
Yeah, what was the ratio for the children's circle? You said about 20 said really interested, and you only got 7, so about a third?
Probably a third is a safe. But again, we don't look at this as a revenue generator. We see this as providing a service to the community.
And I think that's what it is. But with that, you know, it's kind of a good segue to my next question. It's probably more for Carol. We don't see this as a revenue generator, and we probably will lose money on it, but does any of this cash help cover fixed costs? So it's not like it's what we call cash negative in my business. It's actually probably somewhat there. This is one where unlike other topics where I think I have differing views. You know, this is one I don't think there's an easy solution out there. I do think that there probably is going to be more of a demand than there will be for Children's Circle, because the whole world is closed down now. And in June, I think things are going to start to open up a little bit. I also think the summer is coming. People are going to want to have their kids socialized a little bit more after 3 months of non-socialization. So I don't know if that 33% holds true. I would probably presume it's kind of closer to 40 or 50%. But I like the plan. I like the phasing. I hope we can do something. I do, because I think by soft launching a phase two, you end up, if the gloves come off in July, it really gets you guys prepared. And I think there's going to be a demand once the gloves come off.
I agree with Michael, and from what I'm hearing from people, I think mentally people have written June off because they don't expect programming to happen, but I don't think they've written July off at all, and I do see that there will be a demand, and I think we may be surprised, and it's limited numbers anyway. So if you take people who are enrolled, so what you mentioned before, if you add up the camps, you generally have, 750-800 people, so you got to really, eliminate a lot of those people anyway. So you take off all the people who are unsure, you take off all the no's, and you're still gonna, you know, be above what you can handle. So I agree that I think this is the way to go. I did want to ask, how does the daycare or children's circle fit into this? Because normally you don't operate all summer.
Yes,
you do. That's what I meant. Sorry, normally you do. So that's the goal, too, is to get that open. That's separately from what we're talking about.
Correct. That's separate. And part of it, the manpower plan will be to utilize those daycare teachers and then be able to transition them back into a more reopening plan with daycare. So when we expect that rush, we need to have labor available who's trained, who knows the kids. So we can utilize daycare staff for this, our phase two and phase three option, and then we can naturally roll them into an opening. Realistically, we think daycare is not going to be back to closer to
I think I feel a little bit differently than Michael and Stephanie. So let me just throw it out there. It's perhaps just nuance, but there's clearly going to be risk, whether it's May or June or July or August. And anytime you're getting groups of people together, you're escalating that risk. I don't think, based on what I'm hearing, I don't think I would support programs of convenience. In other words, I normally send my kid to camp, and I'd like to send my kid to this camp. I think supporting essential workers who have to go to work is a laudable goal, and I do support that. So I think there might be something that is either just a continuation of the essential worker daycare that we have, or a slight expansion of that, perhaps to only essential workers, or only to people where both parents are working, or something like that. But I really think, at least for the month of June, if families have the option to keep their kids out of groups, they should be doing that, and we shouldn't be encouraging groups in that scenario.
Well, essentially, I feel that is what this is, because that phase two is extremely limited. I mean, one room, they can't leave that room. They have like a bathroom that's just theirs. I mean, it is, unless I'm viewing this differently, phase two is a continuation of what we're doing right now. Phase three is when it switches over a little bit.
A little bit. The definition of essential workers changes between the phases.
So what do you
about that.
What are you proposing in phase two and phase three, Bobby?
Well, phase two is currently what we're in right now, so they have to qualify under the essential worker guideline, and they have to be leaving the house. My understanding is in phase three they do not need to be leaving the house, but they have to be working. So it's still different.
I can give you an example. Like airline employees are considered essential workers. And if we open the office up...
There are a number of pledges that we have to chase
down. Sorry, someone go on mute. I have to go to the office. And, you know, if the office opens up, we're going. So I think there probably is a need out there. I realize I'm probably more unique. But I, for one, don't have a problem with... us doing this for essential workers. I don't have a problem with if there is room and parents feel comfortable doing this. I don't, for one, have a problem with it so long as we're taking the precautions that we're taking and that parents are aware of the issues out there. So I respectfully disagree, Josh. And I think it's a way that we can ensure that we are getting ourselves up and running for July as well. Because I don't think July is going to happen unless we do something in June too.
Question, Bobby, what is the age for the current daycare? Is it go all the way up to age 12?
It does.
Yeah. I have a few questions, just very quickly. In all phases, we are not requiring the children to be in their rooms the entire time. Am I correct? I mean, you can take groups one by one outside to play.
Jeff, do you want to, if you're able to answer, do you want to discuss maybe on the preschool side what those options are?
We're lucky. We're lucky enough that you know, we have four sections of the playground and we have four classrooms right now, so each classroom is assigned to the section. So I would say our kids have been outside about 2 hours a day plus. We're also lucky, of course, to have the field behind us. So one of the things Stephanie, Amanda, and I talked about was each group would have their own bin of toys because they can't share equipment. So, you know, blue group has the blue bin, and when they go out to the field, those are the toys that they play with. So no, by any means would they be inside all day. That's basically impossible to keep children inside all day. We have a lot of options, you know, around the take-a center for them to get outside and not be sharing equipment or, you know, exposing each other to each other's germs.
Lisa, it would have to be very choreographed between all of the classrooms to make sure that, you know, while one classroom is walking down the hall, the other classroom isn't walking down the hall.
Right.
So there is possibility to do it.
Right, right. And I think that's essential because if people fathom their children going someplace for the summer and being locked inside the whole time, it's a, to me that's a deal breaker. So, but I understand one group has to have vacated completely and be back in the room before the next group heads out. Okay, so my other question is, how are you phasing in, how are people able to make a decision in a kind of a rolling time frame? So I see that phase two is going in June. I'm hearing things. It looks like it's good. They're going to start this new phase three that July 1. June is, you know, sort of a non-starter. People are sort of, as Stephanie said, kind of just getting rid of June completely. How are people, or are people able to say sometime in June, you know what, I feel confident now that I see it running and I hear how it's working, I'm going to sign up for July. How do you manage staff levels and everything else with such a short lead time?
Very difficultly, unfortunately.
Finding the right staff, too.
Yeah, it's very challenging, I'm not going to lie. It's a chicken and egg situation. The demand, knowing the demand, knowing how many staff we have, it is going to be extremely difficult, and we're going to have to evolve. We're pretty confident we're not getting out of phase two until the end of June.
Right.
So the reality is phase three is unlikely going to start before July 6th. Chicago Park District has already pushed their camps start back to July 6th. Highland Park come back to July 6th, and they're going through the 29th of July. With no options in August as of right now. So I don't have a great answer for you, President Brooks, but I know that I'm comfortable with the phase two. We're going to have to try to figure out a phase three, and we're just getting this framework, everyone on board will be the start of that. It's going to be very challenging.
Right.
So we have to take our daycare staff that we've already hired, because they're not eligible, most of them, to work in phase two. We would have to tell them, you know, your start date has now been moved back to July
6th. Yeah.
Stay tuned, and then we have to see how many kids are programmed. So we anticipate we'll lose a lot of those workers because they'll go find another job that needs to start more immediately. So this is definitely a challenge.
We have a very flexible team. But we will be.
I think you're right. I think, you know, finding workers is going to be a challenge. There's two schools of thought here. There are a lot of teachers that didn't, you know, get to see students the last, you know, 3 months that may want to be out of the house and may want to work in a very safe environment like we're going to provide. On the other hand, there may be people that are afraid. So I think, again, Bobby, this is probably a chicken and the egg, and you don't know until you have it. I can't tell you the number of high school and college kids that have called me up and saying, hey, if camps are canceling, can we watch your kids? Because you've got this sort of demand out there for college. College kids don't know what they're going to be doing this summer. So I don't know if those are options for us, because those are certainly high school graduates. But I think there's more questions than there are answers. And you guys are probably looking for us to determine, is it worth it to even start investigating whether phase two is worthwhile? Right,
yeah,
I think that's what you're asking.
Carol?
We're going to work out the details.
If I could just...
Go ahead, Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
I was just saying, with the whole staffing of the beach, which is taken on full force this week, we'll kind of get a feeling on what the response is for people that we have talked about having jobs for the summer. Obviously, again, we don't have the time to train new staff, so we're looking at current rehires, which is already a limited pool to begin with. And then for the camp staff, it's even more. I mean, if they have to be DCFS qualified to do that, and their current staff, that pool becomes even lower. And I just find it very difficult to think that we're going to have that all in place. You know, we're just starting the whole process of okay, what if somebody shows up and they've been exposed to somebody who has COVID-19? You know, and the ramifications in opening up our facility, and we need to hammer that down It's not like at the beach where it's open air. It's a closed facility. And there's a whole other ramification as far as staffing and coordinating and logistics within the building with workers that are now going to be in the building as well. So I guess from that point, I just want to say we're going to see with the beach, but again, it's a whole different type of facility that we're bringing back workers. So
I totally understand that, and I think you make great points. I didn't realize that you needed to have has to be Glencoe trained folks, because I know the JCC daycare has been closed and they furloughed 70% of their staff. Glencoe Montessori has done some things as well. And so my assumption is that there's probably local talent that you can tap into. If that is not the case, then you've got a more of an uphill battle. Can I ask you, Bobby, the question, why the June 1st date then? I mean, that's 18 days away. Why not June 10th, June 15th?
Our license would be renewed June 1st. Outside of this summer care option, our essential daycare is going to keep going. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, especially we're in phase two. It's a continuation. So
yeah.
It's not arbitrary.
Look, I mean, in my particular opinion, I've not been shy about this. I think you guys provide an awesome service. I've heard phenomenal things so far in the community about just being open for the daycare, whether or not people have children in there. Just the fact that there's an option makes me proud to be a part of this board. So I think you guys should all give yourselves a pat on the back for doing that. I think the summer is going to be tougher on parents and on essential workers, and so I'd like to see it continue. But I don't think you compromise safety, and if you can't get the talent, that needs to be factored in.
Well, we're really looking for the board for direction is. I have no doubt that we'll hire, if it's available, best talent out there. We'll look at different opportunities of hiring staff that aren't currently employed with us, just to make those barriers break down for training. So that's the biggest thing, training barriers we have to work through. But there's some financial risk to this. We may break even, we may not. I don't think there's any chance that we'll make any money on this program. There's a challenge of staff and keeping everybody healthy, and what if one room goes down? You're going to have to know that. We probably have to close that room or do some things like that. And then just the hiring of staff. So there's all those things that we have the ability, the brain power to try to work through, and we'll be honest if we can't get over any of those hurdles. But I guess what we need for the board is just big picture, really enough to take that risk financially. Staff, we're going to keep our staff safe. That's the number one thing they're looking into, so don't worry about that. As much as we can, it is a virus, and we can put everything in place, and people still get sick. So that's what we're looking for in the direction of the board is, we like this plan. Now figure out how we're going to implement it, and our staff will take the lead, and we will do that. So we're not asking you to answer those questions about those others.
So let me comment two things. First on sort of the plan. So as long as Northeast Illinois is in what the governor calls phase two, I'm okay with this plan so long as it only applies to essential workers working outside the home. With respect to the finances, I would just look to make sure we're covering or exceeding the marginal cost of providing the service. For instance, not to be too personal, but we're paying Stephanie and Liz and Bobby and so forth anyway, right? So we want to make sure that we're covering the incremental cost of providing.
Right. And I'm just going to finish my comments. I actually believe kind of rewinding. Josh had made the comment about essential workers, and Michael had thought that perhaps we need to be a little more open to people. I'm going to put a foot in both camps, because I do think it's very difficult for us to be the arbiters of who really needs to have their kids cared for while they're getting through their working day. And I also don't want the park district to have to say, show me your, you know, 1040, I want to see that you're both working, or whatever that comes down to. I do think that May and June will dictate July. I think that you folks, staff, we'll see what you're capable of doing, how much you can expand it, and it will be a natural, you will create your own natural restrictions to how many people can enter. And should we have that glorious problem that everybody's decided it's fabulous and they all want to be sending their kids there, that's another discussion, and then we can revisit it. But I think it's kind of, I think it's naturally going to settle into people who feel they really need to have their children somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I want to add something.
Yes, Dudley.
Yeah. I support what I'll call the incremental approach that you just talked about, including, of course, essential workers at the base layer, and then the other, what we call students, children, on top of that. But I really encourage us to do a very much an incremental approach, just so we know what we're getting into and how we can adapt to the changing times.
Okay.
So, Lisa,
Sorry, one question.
Oops, Lisa, go ahead, Michael. Yeah.
Just for clarification, Carol, I think what you're saying and what Lisa Shepherd's saying are not. I'm not seeing the connection here. The financial risk that we have, I think, is muted because this is all, it covers your you know, we have such a loss anyway from not having these camps. That I was under the impression from our previous discussion that there was very limited financial risk because any cash would cover some of the fixed costs as well. Is that not the right?
I will say that I haven't seen the true financial picture yet. I think that's what needs to still come. I can't honestly say that I've seen it yet, so I don't want to give people the impression that I have. And I think we're trying to see what that looks like to put that together. But we don't really have that yet.
Yeah. Okay, because I think it's going to lose money no matter what, right? I mean, the question is, are we going to lose $500,000 by not being open, or do we lose
$400,000? Yeah, what I can tell you in the traditional sense of the word of what camp we budgeted for was a little over $800,000 in revenues, a little over, I don't know, $445,000 in expenses. There was like a $365,000 net that if we didn't have anything, we would realize that loss.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what the new picture looks like just yet.
Yeah, I don't think you had PPE in scrubs in our original budget, if I don't recall.
You're absolutely correct.
Thermometers and masks and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So suddenly that line item for staff t-shirts really doesn't matter anymore, does it? Because you'll all be in scrubs.
So much, no, right?
No, Bobby is smart. Bobby's using them to make masks.
By the way, you're lucky you're lucky you can get scrubs, because they're not easy to come by. I've had to really dig to get scrubs. So
maybe we should have the children make masks as a community service.
Oh yeah, put them to work. That's not earn your keep, kid. Lisa and Bobby, is tell us what the next step is. Let's just say we all come to agreement, move forward with this plan. How are we going to check in, and how are you going to present whatever comes next to us?
I think what we have to do is go away and do exactly what we did with the beach and come up with an implementation plan very quickly. Get all of our staff coming up with what that's going to look like, what the operations plan looks like, and what the communication plan is, and that's going to be pretty much by the end of the week, we're going to have our ducks in a row with that.
Or maybe by early next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, by early next week, we'll have that. And roll it out to see if people are interested in that phase two approach. how many will be there. So that's what we'll do with our, how we're going to execute our action plan and communication and marketing to see how many people are interested in this type of daycare for the month of June. And then find staff.
Yeah.
Will this, any part of this be on the agenda for next Tuesday?
No, it will probably be too early to be on the agenda, so we're going to roll with it and just go. I mean, we'll take care of all the small picture of what we're going to do, or big picture, I guess. All the details, we'll roll that out. I don't know if we'll have anything to report back by next week or not. We'll be developing it at all.
And I know you participate in different calls and you've been getting different guidelines. Are you still waiting on anything from American Camping Association in a finalized format? And if so, will that change? Obviously, may change some of the things you're recommending.
Really, the governor's phased approach is what's dictating a lot of our decisions right now. Having talked to a lot of the other districts, they're probably a week to 2 weeks behind our decision making. They're really looking to see what we're doing. But they're all thinking very similar to us, except their big challenge is they don't have an emergency daycare license. So really what they're looking to do is do what we do, except in the July time frame.
In the phase three approach, yeah. They're looking at that.
And I will say Jeff actually is doing a Zoom call for six park districts tomorrow. They've had so many questions. They came to us about the emergency daycare license. So she's actually doing a Zoom call for them tomorrow because everyone's kind of trying to catch up with what we've been looking enough to be able to execute.
How is the emergency daycare program going? How many students do you have?
Jeff, do you want to give an update?
Is Jess on the call?
Yeah.
She's here.
She's muted.
Oh. You're on
I was muted. So we're up to 10 kids. We had three new ones join basically between Friday and Monday. We rapid did, paperwork for them. We have children now in the program who are not from Children's Circle, who just moved to the area, and mom is an emergency physician. So they needed to quickly find care. Other than that, it's going really, really well. The kids have gotten used to the routine. The staff are really happy being back at work. We've had no problems getting any PPE. We've gotten scrubs on Amazon within 2 days, so might want to check there.
Yeah, but I have specific colors for my husband.
It's going really well.
Does that mean we're maxed out in that particular room?
No. So we currently have those 10 kids split up between four rooms because they range in age from 10 months to 7 years old right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Just off the top of my head, I had a question. Are you intending, once you expand this, to keep siblings together in groups?
No. Oh, God. So, DCFS's recommendation in that phase two emergency license is that children are split by age, not by sibling groups. So we already have sibling groups that are separated. For example, the 10-month-old has a 3-year-old brother, and it just wouldn't be fair for him to have to spend his day in the baby room. So their recommendation is to continue to split siblings based on the age.
Got it.
Hey, Jess, have you guys done any staff surveys to understand how they're feeling about everything?
We haven't done any formal surveys yet, no.
Okay, are there any other concerns, comments? Lisa, Bobby, do you feel you have your answer to move forward?
I think we do. So we're going to move forward with the phase two possible expansion. We have to fill the first one first, and then we'll keep on looking towards phase three when the restrictions are lifted. That's very good feedback. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Let's see.
Thank you for the preparation, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the survey was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. Bobby, how many surveys went out of 147 families answered? How many went out?
I would have to check how many email addresses. It's got to be over probably 400 email addresses.
Okay. So it's almost 45%, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
We can get that information. We can find out how many emails that was.
I'm just curious.
Everyone in our camp system.
Yeah. Okay, so we will move on then to other business, and Lisa Shepherd will lead discussion on any additional items.
All right, so I just want to bring up today from last week's committee meeting. We launched tenants today, the email went out, and I think, is Adam still here? Where's Adam? Within like 5 minutes, we had 15 court reservations, and then now how many do we have, Adam?
We're about over 60 now, court reservations.
So, wait, really? 60 court reservations already?
And that's only through next Saturday through next Tuesday.
Yeah. So we're going to open up two sets of courts, so the Central Park and the West Park tennis courts. They have we'll have two courts for each park available. We'll take out the middle court to allow for social distancing. It's solo play only. We're going to follow the USTA guidelines, which will be posted at the court. I know I sent you all the email went out, and then the contact went out, and it's out on social media now. So obviously the word has gotten out, along with anybody who has contacted me in the last couple weeks, which has been a lot about tennis. So they're very, very pleased with that. There's some guidelines that they're recommending following to make it a safer experience. So we're allowing single play only. They don't have to be from the same household if they're adults. If they're under 18, we're recommending that we're telling them the parents have to be there to monitor that social distancing. We will have a court supervisor that goes between the two courts just probably for the first couple weeks. After June 1st, we'll readjust that fee if that's needed. People do have the ability to come, and if there's opening in the schedule, they can put their name on there and reserve it. So they have to reserve 24 hours a day or in advance. Before 8 o'clock, they'll post those signs, and they'll have the schedule for the day. So if anybody comes up, they'll see if those courts are reserved. So hopefully that will minimize any, you know, people waiting around the courts and things like that. That's trying to avoid. If they get so popular that these courts are filled, we're opening them up from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. It turns out that if we don't have any court time, we'll look at investigate opening the other courts. It is going to help that our neighbors, we are working in conjunction with each other. So Winnetka opened up some courts today. Deerfield's opening up courts Friday or Saturday, and so is Highland Park. So we're not the only court in town, which at first we weren't sure if we were going to be the only one open. So I don't believe Northbrook is open there at this time. So it's been really, you know, if you have any questions, I sent you the link. Any question on tennis? We did hold off on disc golf right now. Yes, based on the meeting last week, we just had so many things to work out through tennis and then the beach. We didn't want to rush it, and we acknowledged that kids were already playing disc golf, just using our platforms out there without the baskets. We're having a hard time figuring out how to elevate the baskets, because the danger in golf is going into the hole. The same thing was with disc golf. So we decided to wait, because they were using course running without baskets, wait until at least June 1st to see if some of those restrictions have been lifted, and then fade that back into. I definitely have getting more tennis balls than disc golf balls, so we want to get that up and running.
Lisa, can we go back to tennis for a second? I wanted to point out that in the latest version of the press release that you shared, I think it was a little confusing about 18-year-olds or children. It kind of read like no kids were allowed under any circumstances, and I think what you mean is kids have to be with a parent.
So what the final one says is currently only single recreational players between adults is permitted. Players under 18 must be accompanied by an adult from their immediate family.
Those two sentences are
exclusive. Those are not, like, it says no kids, and then it said if you are under 18, you have to be with a parent. So I think what you meant to say was you need to have at least, if you're going to have someone under 18, they need to be accompanied by someone who's over 18, right?
Players under 18 must be accompanied by adults from their immediate family.
Question, are the courts locked up at night, padlocked, or are they open 24
no,
hours?
After 7 p.m. they'll be locked back up for the night.
Okay.
Because
shelter place gets lifted and more restrictions get taken off, we'll open them up for good and not even take reservations at some point. So this is just for until June 1st, and then we'll reassess and look at it whether we should open them permanently.
Okay. Chris, I'll just mention, somebody told me about how they're accommodating disc golf. They've taken their baskets. I don't know where this is. I don't know. Maybe I dreamed it. I could have actually been a dream now that I'm saying it. It does sound ridiculous. But they've taken the baskets down, and they've put some kind of a circle on the ground where the pole is, or something like this. And that would be, you know, represent the basket so there wouldn't be any in and out with the hands of the basket. I'm sure that creates problems with mowing the lawn, and you maybe don't want to even think about this, but I just thought I'd throw it out.
That's stuff we could look at. I mean, if we're really considering June 1st as a time to, you know, pull the trigger, I mean, that leaves us really, you know, 15 days. But I think a little paint on the turf is not that big a deal. You know, it's not like we're manufacturing our own custom, you know,
right,
type holes or cones out there. I don't see any concern with painting the turf.
Hula hoop, we overreach one.
That's a really good idea.
That's a great idea.
It was my dream.
The baskets right now underneath one, like synthetic turf, like an 8x8 square. So we don't mow it anyway. So if we paint it, after paint, might take 3 or 4 months to come off, but it's not like it's graffiti, it's just a purple.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great idea.
Sure. Just advocating for...
They're throwing the frisbee into the synthetic pad right now as the goal.
That's what we think they're doing. Yeah.
It's just an age group that really is desperate for some independence and some being out and stuff, and so I'm just trying to advocate for them. All right.
Hey, Lisa, sorry, going back to the tennis thing, the way it says online, and I think you read it differently, it says currently only singles between adults is permitted. That is not true. It can be between a father and a 13-year-old, right?
It says in our press release, and the one I have right in the hand, and I'll go back, Adam, you can check it out to see what it says.
I'm on the website now, but yeah.
Okay, it says, well, it should be saying, currently only single recreational play between adults is permitted. Tuesday, the board came to the consensus get the word out to everybody. So
I have a question for Bobby. Bobby, we say we're going to do that every individual on the beach, I'm paraphrasing, has 100 square feet around them. Is that really what you mean? I mean, most people don't go to the beach as an individual. They'll go as a family or a couple or something like that. They will have a tent, a perimeter around them. So no?
We're not planning on giving them a 10 by 10 space. We're providing an allowance of space at the beach of 10 by 10. So we're hoping that people will socially distance themselves. So if a family of four is sitting together, we don't expect them to sit 10 feet apart from each other.
Right.
So we're not going to do grids. I know there's been a lot of conversations and overseas about marking grids and putting lines down. We just don't think it's a viable option. We think it's a tripping hazard. There's no safe way of doing it. We're not going to spray paint sand. It's just not. You can't run the beach with it. You can't run the beach either. With the wave action. So we're looking to just figure out the number of attendants based on a square footage per person.
And then ask people to do a 10-foot radius around their families. So that's how we worded it in the press release.
Okay. And then the only other comment is, and this is my bad, and I will show you where I think we need to call it one thing, and we're calling it two things. We're calling it season pass, and we're calling it beach pass. And believe me, I know we know what both those things are the same, but it has the potential to confuse people. If we refer to it as a season pass, then we refer to it as a beach pass. And so I think we have to be consistent with what we call it during the course of that, and I'll point out the where that is later.
That's an excellent
point.
That
would be helpful.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you clarify the 9 a.m.? Because within the two releases you sent to us, the language changed and differed. I assume there's a reasoning behind that, but it sounded a little confusing. It was kind of more spelled out in one, and then in the other, it was not. So can you clarify the walkthroughs and the 9 a.m. and the season passes?
You saw one that said 10 a.m.?
No, it's just the language change, and so we're kind of, I'm sorry, I was trying to pull it up on my iPad, but it's on my phone, it's not in here with me.
Go off the very last one I sent you, because we had some edits after that. So it says the beach will be open to season pass holders from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and open to walkers only from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Right, so that walkers
closed after 9 p.m.
That walkers only, are those season pass holders or anybody?
Anybody.
No, anybody.
Anybody, but we don't want to specifically sort of encourage, but it's open to everybody between 6 and 9. So,
it was a subtle change, and I thought that was there was a reason for that subtle change. I wanted to clarify that it wasn't a real change, and that, I got it.
Yeah, no, it's just that you have to have a season pass holder. You have to have a season pass from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to get on the beach. Before that, it's pretty much 6 a.m. to 9, you don't need one.
I will hold back most of my comments, but I will say I think that, Bobby, you should really consider taking out that park district staff will closely monitor visitors to reduce the capacity to allow 100 square feet per person. People will see it the way we just talked about, that I have to be far away from my family. I think you can say the exact same thing by saying we're reducing our capacity, or much like restaurants, we're only allowing up to 25% of our capacity out there. That seems to be something that people are consistently hearing. 25% capacity or 50% of capacity. I think the 100 square feet is, in my opinion, unnecessary.
That's great feedback. Yeah, 50%.
And you know, Michael, I don't want to disagree with you, but I will say nobody knows what 50% or 25% capacity is. What does that really mean? What does it look like? But they know what keeping 10 feet around me looks like.
No, I'd keep that.
This would be and.
I would keep that, we expect people to practice social distancing. We expect, if you don't actually say the 10 feet around you anywhere in here.
Yeah, we do. We have it said, park district staff will closely monitor visitors to reduce capacity and allow for approximately 10-foot radius around families or individuals.
Okay, you did change that. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't see that in my version either, but I'm fine with
the second one that was sent out.
Okay. Okay. Either way, I'm fine. I don't really, 10 feet between families, I think is probably the right way to do this.
Yeah.
But 100 square feet per person, people think.
Yeah.
If they have,
yeah.
Okay. Guys, I'm making an expression now.
I know. But you were trying to cover your face. What is that look?
But we don't need six people to write this.
I know.
You yeah, we don't.
Yeah, we've like had 20 people look at it. Everybody has a different frame of mind. So.
Where's Erin when you need her?
Seriously.
Yeah. Yep. Lynn and Tracy have done a great job, and Lisa looked at it.
Right.
We all looked at it. So everybody can read something into it, and it's going to be hard. We'll just have to keep on answering questions and understanding that it's. This is not something that any of us would like to see, but we just found out today or yesterday that Northbrook has officially closed their pools for the season. Other ones are, a lot of park districts are making that decision this week, so we know that pools will more than likely be closed down, if not all seasons, for the majority of the season, which will drive people to our beach more than ever before. So now we're going to have a lot of people that maybe have never come to our beach before or ever swam in Lake Michigan. Coming to our beach and swimming without lifeguards, which it makes it even more of importance that we have season pass holders so that people that come to our beach are comfortable with that experience and comfortable in the lake. So not just one time every weekend, one timers coming. So
is there a reason we're not mentioning our max capacity per day in that letter?
Yeah, it's very hard to determine what it is based on the size of the beach and the lake level. It's not like a pool where you have the fire marshal tell you. It's very difficult to determine the actual capacity.
Because if the lake levels go up throughout the summer and we lose more and more beach, then we would have to change that capacity load. So we don't want to say 400, and then all of a sudden we lose beach and it goes down to 200. You know, which is so we're leaving it very vague that we're looking for that radius around it and make those determinations as we go on.
And 400 individuals would have to be spread out more than if those individuals came together as family groups. So
that's right.
That would make us, that would allow us to have more people on the beach. Okay, so.
But can we say, you know, there is a max capacity per day? That people are aware that when they buy a pass or when they show up, that they can be turned away. I don't think that's crystal clear.
Okay. So somewhere they're saying we may have to limit capacity at the beach on a daily basis or something?
I mean, because odds are pretty good that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, no, totally. Okay, so we'll look at that.
We took out the actual number. But
we're not going to put the number, yeah. But they're
we'll put the number. Just sort of the... It may be that we will have to limit capacity or something.
Yeah, some people at first.
Could be more clear, you know, more, you know, not maybe, because you're going to have to limit capacity. So I think people should really know that. And it should be very clear in that season letter that there will be limited capacity each day. That's just my opinion. Because when I read that, I don't see it. And especially because, like, the Northbrook Pool announcement came out today and everyone's talking about it. And I'm sure you've already gotten a rush of calls, and you will, for people buying the passes, or people just reading on it from another town should know it's not going to be like 2,000 people that are going to get in.
So with the paragraph where we say beach attendees will be expected to practice social distancing, I think that's the paragraph where you say, you know, a very short sentence, and we can craft that, or you can craft that about limiting that it may... You know, whatever, however we want to phrase it.
I have to put a number on there, but we'll figure out how to say it.
And do not put a number on, because that's okay. All right. Any other questions about the beach or the press announcement? No more? Okay. Then we're done.
We're done. Yep, we just said we have a board meeting next Tuesday. We'll talk about... Our operations for the last month, talk about a little bit about our grants and just reiterate the board packet, official board packet, some of our things that we've been talking about. So, and we'll probably have an update on Linden House by next week, too.
Question, will we have a election of officers next week?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, we are going to do that, and I will make sure I touch base with everybody this week. I'm thinking, feeling like I've spoken to most people, but I will. Okay, so a recommended motion. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.